Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 38, Tears. Today is Friday, March 28th, 2008. How about that for some eights? Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 38, Tears. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You just heard the London Symphony Orchestra with symphonic music of the Rolling Stones. The song was As Tears Go By. The song is real relevant to our message today. Pastor Paul's message, Tears, is about the daughters of Jerusalem. And like the song, women were crying while Jesus was going by them with the cross. And he turns and looks at them and says, daughters of Jerusalem, weep for yourselves. I'll put the scriptures in the show notes, and those are located at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. That was taken from Luke 23 and 28. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep for yourselves. Jesus is not looking for pity. He is fulfilling his mission, what he came here to do. So a lot of times people will have sympathies for people that really are really not needed. Jesus was not looking for sympathy. A lot of times we can cry and it just makes us feel better to cry. And so Jesus really had a harsh word for that. Pastor Paul's message, Tears, is a very strong word for today. He talks about the world as being sick, in need of the great physician, and I think we can all relate to that. Talks about people in the world wailing, weeping, and crying, and doing that instead of sharing, caring, and helping people in need. Talks a lot about attitudes of men, attitudes towards themselves, their fellow man. It's an excellent message, one for today. It was actually delivered in September of 1989, and so, I mean, that is like, what, almost 20 years ago. And he talks about some of the things that are happening then are happening still at this very time. He also talks about attitudes of institutions such as governments, banks, insurance companies, and how their attitude towards the poor is less than the best. I know you're going to enjoy this message. It's a shorter message, so you're gonna like that as well. So I won't keep you too much here, but I just want to let you know that for the show notes, which are located at the blog, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com and check out our website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. You can also make an audio comment. We have an audio comment line that is 1-715-808-0318. If you have any comments, any questions, or any suggestions for me, let me know. Call the audio comment line. It's just like leaving a message. If you want, we'll play it on the air. If you don't, we won't. Also, I just want to say thank you for joining us, and I'm hoping that you're getting a lot out of these messages. I know I am. I've been listening to them right along as well, and they're just incredible, and this one is especially good. I know you're going to really get a lot out of this. It's really a good message, like I said, for today. You'll be able to relate to it. And be sure to come back on Sunday. I have another message, The Fox. That'll be a good one as well. We're going to continue with these two messages a week until we just decide not to. So any comments you'd like to make, anything you'd like to share, call the comment line 1-715-808-0318. Or you can send me an email, janine@pastorpaul.org. Or you can go to the blog and you can put a comment where the podcast's notes are for this message. So just make a comment at the blog. That's very easy. You just make a comment. I take a look at it and then I'll post the comment. Also, be sure to, at the show notes, check out the production of the symphonic music of the Rolling Stones. The production is incredible. I have links to the actual production, some videos on YouTube I think you're really going to enjoy. And then also check out the archive messages about Faces About the Cross. We've seen Pilate. We've seen the, now these are the women, the daughters of Jerusalem. We've seen Pilate, his wife, the thieves, or Pastor Paul calls them the outlaws, the great outlaw, the little outlaw, the critics of the cross, which are the two false witnesses. The soldier was the hero at the cross. So check them out. And we're going to continue our series, Faces About the Cross. Are you finding yourself there? I'm finding myself there, many of these different people. Attitude, I'm going to keep mine in check. Believe me, keep working it out. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this as much as I did. And I'll see you back here on Sunday, bright and early, for The Fox. Don't miss it. Have a good weekend. God bless you.
Tears. I was thinking about tears, and I thought, well, you know, it's kind of like the money market. With some, it's easy come and easy go. Some, it's holding their own. With some, it's up and down. With some, it's high yield or low yield or no yield. But anyway, today's message is entitled Tears. We've been ministering about the cross and the faces about it for a few weeks now. And I found myself in just about every face that we've ministered about. Today, let's take another look, and we find people weeping. Will we find ourselves in this group? Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Luke 23 and 28. Now, you'd think this would be the place for tears. For the mom's spirits people. For the rights people. Here we have Jesus climbing a hill with a cross on his back, too heavy for his whipped, beaten body to bear, and two robbers, I think, just up ahead of him, carrying their crosses. And I want you to catch the scene here. The streets are all jammed with curious people. Oh, how curious we can be when something is amiss. People probably hanging out of their windows. Just about all of them, as far as we know, are hostile towards Jesus. Get the scene now. They are screaming. Are you hearing this, kids? The people are hanging out of the windows and they are screaming. Now, this is about the Lord here. And they are laughing, and they are swearing, and they are taunting, and they are sick people. The Bible says they are in need of a physician. They're yelling and screaming and taunting. Hey, Joe, where you been? Seems like I only see you at funerals and holy days. How about coming over for a wine cooler? Then also they resent his weakness. And as he staggers under the weight of the cross, it makes them furious. Pick up your cross. Don't be such a wimp. Go on, come on, pick it up. What's wrong with you? Whip him a little more. Get the scene here now. Put yourself in that situation now. I think he'd rather carry it than it carry him. That kind of conversation. But the Bible says there are a few women who feel sorry for this man, who is being put to this very terrible, terrible death. They probably whisper, "He's innocent, don't you know? Oh, how he loves children." Isn't it funny how people got such a good word when something's going down or going out? "Oh, he just loves children. Johnny could just sit and listen to him for hours upon end. And, you know, he's so young, almost a boy." And with all of that, they burst into tears. Why? Poor thing. How does Jesus react to those tears, to that crying, that wailing? Well, he doesn't seem to appreciate it, or them. Yet we know he's a very appreciative person. We know that he's very sensitive to kindness, normally. And I remember back when he said that even one who gave so much as a cup of cold water in his name would be sure of a reward. Less than a week ago, before this scene, a young woman at a dinner party showed him a kindness, sort of a silly kindness to some. In Judas's opinion, it was costly and useless when she poured the perfume, the ointment over his head. Yet, Jesus called it beautiful and declared her name should be with his own to the very end of time. So you see, he's very appreciative. Wheresoever, he says, this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Yet he shows no appreciation of tears for these wailing women. He does not want their tears. And why? I think, firstly, Jesus has a strong man's natural aversion to being pitied. I mean, if you're listening to this and you enjoy having your fellow man pity you, there is something radically wrong with you. And also, he sees that these women have missed the real point of the tragedy. They have, I believe, mistaken tears. Have you ever been around somebody that has no sense of humor? I mean, you can say something that's tremendously funny and they don't even laugh or smile, or they show no recognition at all to your efforts, deadpan. They never laugh and they look so bored, or they have that perverted sense of humor and they laugh at the wrong time. Have you ever been around someone that laughs at the wrong time? Or at the wrong things? I think right now, to mention this, that we are definitely in an age of sick humor. A Colosseum spirit, if you will, when something is having a problem or a person is having a problem, where people secretly enjoy it and sometimes openly laugh about it. Sadistic this age is, cruel, merciless, and I'm talking about a real sick humor that's kind of hanging over our world right now, and always at someone else's expense. Have you noticed how sick the humor is nowadays? Or maybe you listening, maybe you're some of the ones that are laughing at it. Well, anyway, it's the same really when people don't know when to weep or for what reason to weep. Now, I think they were perfectly okay in weeping, but they were weeping for the wrong cause. See, they were sobbing over Jesus when they should be weeping over themselves and over their children. Now, a lot of times you'll see people even today weeping. Someone gets murdered and they'll weep for the murderer, and they'll carry on for months and months and months and say, oh, it's society's problem. Look what they did to this poor soul. Are you hearing this? See, we can hear this word now because it's almost 2,000 years down the line without laughing. But imagine the scene some almost 2,000 years ago. How absurd this word must have sounded then. Weep for ourselves? For what? Why should we weep? I think this poor man is losing his mind. Oh, what have they done to him? What have they done to him? He's gone completely crazy. Weep for ourselves, he says. I think right now we're in a country right now, and we're in a state right now where we should weep for ourselves. Not for those that are out there, but for ourselves. But I think we also are missing the point, you listening to this broadcast, to this tape. But anyway, look at the crowd. Two robbers, hard as can be, in and out. And no one really seemingly having any kind of emotions towards it. Then how about the perpetrators of this great injustice? No, they say, we have victory here. I mean, put on the mutton stew here. It's all over but the shouting. Well, it's easy to see that the most tragic figure in the whole of this thing is Jesus, right? Who only a few months ago had high and holy purposes. Now he faces the cross. But then again, Jesus has a very different view, doesn't he? I think even most of us, in spite of our blindness, I think we'll agree on this, that we'd rather be, than anybody there, we'd rather be Jesus. And so he declares, these women need pity. See, they are the people as a whole that have turned their back on him and are allowing him to die. They are actually worse than the religious leaders. They've been through the thing. I can relate with this totally, because I see that nature in people every day. That weep when it's too late, then care when the person is gone. Why do people wait for people to fall and works to fail before they weep? Phony tears. Phony tears. If different works around this nation, and different things around this nation, and even this work right here were to fall because of lack of caring, there'd be a whole lot of people out there weeping, wouldn't they? See, it's like we don't like an artist. We don't care for them until they're gone, and they're worth something. A lot of times that's true of our parents. We don't care for them until they're gone. No, weep for yourselves. You go to the funerals and you go to these, you go out there and you see the person in the casket. Don't weep for that person. Weep for yourselves. When you see things happening worldwide, and I'm talking about everybody, not talking about one group or the other, I'm talking about all of us can enter into this very message. Every one of us. Seems like we have no tears until it's too late. Phony tears. Oh, yes, it was a good work or a good person. Too bad they failed, but then again, it must be the will of God. How many have heard that? No, they are here crucifying the Prince of Life. And even though they saw God working through Jesus, no wonder that Jesus cries, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For a time is coming when they shall say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" And so our Lord is here asserting that the one something of supreme importance is the attitude. The attitude, hear me now, the attitude of men towards himself. He is declaring that the wrong attitude can end for those who take it only in dire tragedy. When you take the wrong attitude. When you take that attitude of not caring, when you take that attitude of not sharing, when you take that attitude of not speaking, even recognizing the people that are in trouble, you have taken the wrong attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all in your attitude. And so he is asserting that in crucifying him, these and all others are in consequence crucifying both themselves and their children. When we don't do right, let me get into this a little bit here. When we don't do right, when we can do right, it's sin. When we have the opportunity, and you know, you let it go a little bit, it's kind of like in your life. You let it go a little bit at the bottom down here, and you just take a little bit of a direction the wrong way, and by the time it grows out this way. That's why we have, you know, people that can't read and write, because we started out at a little bit here, and it just grew and grew and grew until most of the population can't read and write like they should. But anyway, these are startling words. Strange, I think, even to our ears. But see, it's your attitude towards Jesus, and that attitude towards Jesus is very important. Actually, a matter of life and death. You're having a hard time living, it's because of you just took a little bit of Jesus. You didn't take enough of Jesus. See, if you don't physically eat, in other words, you're going to die. How many know if you don't eat, you die? Well, you know what's worse than that? If you eat, then you don't do anything with it. Then you're just a great big burden, and you walk around being a great big puffy burden. That's worse. That's also true in the spiritual sense. See, I mean, if we read the Bible and we don't take any action, where are we then? I mean, when we know the truth, what good are we? When we know what the Word of God says and we don't take into action what He says us to do. When we don't produce. When we don't obey. Jesus says, "I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life." To miss Him is to miss the way. And then again, to miss the way is to arrive at the wrong goal. And then to miss the truth is to believe a lie. You know, when you see these buildings that are 10 or 15 years old or ramps or something like that go down, what happened? They had a lie built into them. They said there was thus and thus and so on inside of that, and girders and steel or whatever they put in there, and the right mixture of cement. And it was guaranteed for so long, it didn't hold up because you know why? It had a lie built into it. Somewhere along the line, it had a lie built into it. Are you hearing this? So also will the individual fall. So also will society fall. So also, by the way, will the world fall. And you know why? Because of the attitude. Now, if you don't believe this, I mean, look at the individual. All right, and firstly, let's look at our own heart. Take a look at our own heart here. Because, you know, just in proportion that you have missed him, you have missed your life. I mean, if you're living a miserable existence, then somewhere along the line, you have missed Jesus that day or that week or that month or that year or that 10 years or that all of your life. Then again, look at the world. Man, what a tragic age we live in. I mean, the whole world is sick. I seen a picture and I showed the world with some kind of a toothache or something, and it was all bandaged up and had bandages and crosses for hurts and owies and stuff on it, you know. But anyway, the symptoms are endless. But you know, there's only one disease that we have rejected God. We have crucified our Lord. Now, I think I heard Donda say while he was up here that the boozeless bar, wasn't that it? Liquorless bar that you played at, couldn't have food in there. Because it might attract the wrong crowd. Might attract hungry people. Well, that's true. I don't have a problem down here because most people are hungry. That's all I can attract. Isn't that right? Well, I mean, you know, use common sense here. Keep it open for a while, and then you sneak in some Cheez-Os, and then you sneak in some popcorn, and then you sneak in some more. And don't ask people for their opinion before you get started, because they'll always tell you no, because their attitude is wrong. Man, I ran this place for a couple of years before I even had anybody come down here. No inspectors knew I was alive. Are you hearing this? Yeah. Sometimes you got to be like the serpent, but gentle as a dove. Sometimes you just have to go past people because you know just about every time, inevitably and always, seems like nowadays especially, that people's attitudes are always wrong, warped. You ever work with somebody who's got an attitude? Man, they got an attitude. What's wrong today? Well, this is wrong, and that is wrong. And on the next day, it's another attitude. I suppose you ran into that in the hospital out there with animals, didn't you? They always had an attitude. Pretty soon, the attitude wears off on the animals, and they don't have no wag and no bark and no meow anymore. No chirp and no sing. Why? Because you have an attitude. You ever been around somebody and it seems like their animal's real mean? That's because the folks in that house is mean. Huh? And in another case, one will come up, he's all silly and waggling around. Maybe that's a happy house there. Yeah, there is an atmosphere, I'm afraid of it, there's an atmosphere out there of wrong attitudes. Ah, man, it's hard to work with people with wrong attitudes, isn't it? Isn't it, Kent? Sue, it's hard to work with people, and you know from being in business, when they have that wrong attitude. And Paul, how'd you like to go out with somebody who got a wrong attitude? And there's some place off in the land of Ooblah-Dee, twixt the lily whites, and you're trying to tell them to do something with this carpet material, and you tell them to go get a bucket, and they forget what they're doing before they get halfway to the dumping it down the bowl. Man, I'm telling you, attitude is a problem. Some people get up with it. Are you hearing this? Yeah, government's got an attitude, hasn't it? Yeah, they certainly have. And banks, they have an attitude. Yeah. Insurance companies, they have an attitude. And you know what it all boils down to? The world despises the poor. What an age we live in. I think there's not, although I have to add to this, I think this, there is not a single evil that vexes society today that cannot or could not be cured given sufficient loyalty to Jesus Christ. Not one thing. I think the whole cure is in the amount of Jesus Christ you put into that thing. I think then the supreme tragedy, the one matter for tears, is the rejection of Jesus Christ. And you're going to see that more and more and more as we go down the line here, even as opportunities right now are opening up for us to minister Jesus Christ. When all of these role model drug kingpins go to jail, we could open up our churches like I said last week. Will we do it? No, we'll probably have an attitude. Well, we don't want the people with AIDS, they might have AIDS. God knows what they might have coming in here. Oh my Lord. They might be diseased. And they're alcoholics and they're coming off. And it'll go right back to the hippie scene again. Huh? Say amen, somebody. God, it's an attitude that we've picked up. Isn't it an attitude? No, I'm up here preaching. I don't care if anybody ever helps me again. I really don't. I'm done begging. Now I'll do all my pleading with the Lord. I'll tell you the truth. Say amen, somebody. There's a time when you got to stop because you know it ain't doing no good. It falls on deaf ears. Just forget it. Go on with what you have. Isn't that true, though? I mean, isn't it true? It's how we reject Jesus Christ. When we reject these things and have attitudes, we're rejecting Jesus. I mean, that's true whether or not we do it in different ways. Some reject him aggressively and cruelly, as the Jews of long ago did. Then again, some reject him passively, decently, we might say, and very courteously. See, but the method does not signify. The fact alone is what matters. The fact alone is that we have rejected Jesus Christ right now like we've done centuries before. With the same attitude. How shall we escape if we neglect? Well, does that speak into us? Well, oh my God, I guess it is speaking to us. How shall we escape if we neglect? Well, that means there is no escape. When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through his hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns, red were his wounds and deep. For those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to our town, they simply passed him by. They never hurt a hair upon his head, they only let him die. For men had grown more tender, don't you see, and they would not give him pain. They only passed him down the street and left him in the rain. Woe be it to us when we're like that. Oh my God. Woe be it to us when we're like that. When we're looking at the poor and the hungry and the rejected. And we leave it die right out there in the streets. Now, I'm not to say that someone's got to come in and handle your problem. Nobody can handle this problem but the people right here in this community. You know why? Because nobody understands and knows the problem like the people live right in it. They never will. They don't care to know, and so they'll never know. But never knowing But yet, by knowing, pretending that they don't know, it doesn't do them any good because the word's right here. We reject Jesus Christ every time. But what he is saying in all this, I am not to be pitied. I am rather to be congratulated. Hey, you start solving these problems right down here in the north side, all around the world, you know, and you start doing that, well, you deserve some kind of congratulations. Don't pity him. Don't pity us. Say amen, somebody. Don't you hate pity? Especially when it comes too late. When a bank is moving in on you. Huh? You're losing your house, and all of a sudden everybody pities you, and they wave bye-bye as you're heading down the road. Huh? Oh, poor so-and-so. There they are out in the street. What's a body to do? You know how many people are forced out of their homes right now? Huh? Because they can't make the payments. Oh, poor Joe and Marilyn. Huh? Too little, too late. Non-caring attitudes. Well, they got themselves into this fix. Well, let's get into prayer for them. Let's shed a few tears. You ever been around a crying prayer warrior? Man, they can wail and scream and knock their wigs off. They can crawl up. They can come to church every Wednesday morning, get down and crawl down the aisle and pray and wail and carry on, go on out and just swear and cuss and call everybody all kinds of names because they don't want to help them. See, they have an attitude. Actually, what they come for, they feel guilty about their attitude, so they come in and they wail and they scream, whoa, whoa, Lord, whoa, oh, 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 huh? Now, out in the suburbs, when I first joined a church out there, I thought to myself, what are these people crying about all the time? What did they do? They must have done something terrible wrong. They're always crying all the time. You know what they're crying about? They had a wrong attitude. They didn't want to do nothing about that attitude. They just come in and weep on it the next day. Next Wednesday morning early, prayer, huh? Wouldn't you say that's a wrong attitude? To weep and to carry on and then not carry out? God's plan? Huh? How many have been around weepers? Man, they can cry at the drop of a hat. Oh, my heart. Oh, I think I'm having a heart attack. Oh, I just get so touched. Oh, 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 huh? Oh. And then they so weep from crying, they can't do anything. Weep for yourself. That's what I feel like going out and telling some of them folks. Hey, now, let's get it right here. Now, you might be crying for the wrong thing. What are you crying for?
Oh, I'm crying for the world. This is such a mess. I'm crying for the AIDS. I'm crying for the abortion issue. I cry. I can't help it. I'm so touched. God has made me a prayer warrior. And we get together 500, 600 of us at a time, and we pray for the ills of the world.
You're the sickness. You are the 500 sickies right here because you're just weeping for the weep for yourselves. Stop having these great big snotters. You know what I mean? That's when you cry until everything runs, your nose and your eyes and your ears and the whole world. It just blue comes out. You're drooling and that is it looks insane. How many are hearing this? Oh, don't weep for me. No, don't weep for the world. And don't weep for the AIDS people. And don't weep for the homeless. And don't weep for the hungry. Weep for yourself. You got a problem. You've spent more on Weight Watchers than the family would eat in a lifetime. You got a problem. Now let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Let's make some tapes that really aggravate people. Might aggravate them up off it. Who knows? There's miracles happening every day. God knows. I'm praying for one. No, congratulate me, Jesus says. Because he has asked above all else that he might be privileged to do God's will. In fact, this is the answer to his prayer. Not my will be done, but yours. And so therefore, as he goes his lonely way, he is conscious, and listen to this, he is conscious of the fact that he is right with God and right with himself. Don't weep for me. I am right with the Father and I'm right with myself. I've obeyed God. What are you weeping about? I mean, by obeying God, I'm enjoying the fellowship of God. He who hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me, because I do always the things that please him. See, I'm talking about living within the will of God. Not only does he possess God, he possesses all things. And even now he has a place that passes all understanding. He is bearing the cross. Don't weep for me. And I think no man can ever be pitiable who is conscious of the fact that he is right. God, that feels so good when you know you're right. Doesn't it? Huh? I mean, even if it's a lonely road, when you know that you're doing what's right and you're in the will of God, isn't that the right way to be on? Isn't it? Now, I think there's a whole lot of things people are doing that ain't right. Man, I mean, if we get down to the nitty-gritty, there should be a whole lot of people with a guilty conscience. Huh? Somebody's doing wrong. Somebody's done somebody wrong, boy. Isn't there a song like that? Da 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 da. Huh? Mm-hmm. Somebody's doing somebody wrong. You understand what I'm saying here today? Somebody is doing somebody wrong, boy. But how good it is when you're doing right. And you know you're doing right. That is the most wonderful feeling in the world. You ever do a half a job and then you think, oh, gee, I hate to go back. Should I go back? I don't want to go back. Should I go back? Do I don't want to go back? And I got to be that certain place. And you go and do it. Won't you feel good about it? And I think there's a whole lot of people doing a half a job. It's got to be that way. Half the people are starving to death. Half of the people are illiterate. It's an attitude problem, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't there an attitude problem in the school system? Now, see, you can go to any school you want to. Of course, if you don't have a car, you got to pay cab service to get out there. Of course, that's got the upside, and then it's got the downside, hasn't it? Got a whole lot of people with an attitude. Well, we aren't going to take all these poor people. Spread them out. Come on now. Huh? Ooh. But you see, it's costing Jesus everything. It's costing him his reputation. It's costing him poverty. It's costing him death. So it is. But in spite of that, he is to be congratulated. Now, I know some people listening find this hard to believe. But I think one of the very sins of our age is the softness. And I think that many believe, I mean, they're greatly persuaded. They are convinced that the worst thing that can befall anyone is for that one to have a hard time. People don't want to have any kind of a hard time. We have been taught if you're having a hard time, you're not in the will of God. Maybe you did some kind of sin and you're getting punished. Well, God is busy punishing a lot of people then, isn't he? Huh? Well, let's, like, there's two businessmen here, and they both go broke. But the one dreads poverty more than he dreads dishonesty. And so he sort of funnels his funds to another bank in some other city, and he starts to manipulate the funds here and sign certain things over here and so on like that. And he's congratulated by folks because he's such a wise fellow, and his creditors are the only ones that suffer. People applaud that. And then we have the other fellow. He's sort of a dull head, you know what I mean? He goes ahead and he pays everybody off. He says, I'm sorry, I can't give you 100 cents on the dollar here, but Lord willing, I'll catch up with you a little bit later. Oh, what a dummy, right? No, God congratulates that person. Are you hearing this? Poor fellow. And then Jesus thought himself worthy to be congratulated because he was doing the thing that he most wanted to do. You want to do it. Huh? One time, this is some time back, a man come and asked me, he said, man, do you actually, I don't understand you. What do you want to be down there for? I mean, I want to be honest with you. Do you mind me being honest? No, I said, you don't need my permission to be honest. Go ahead, shoot. Shoot, go ahead, be honest, shoot. Well, I mean, what's the attraction? Well, I'm doing what I want to do. Well, how could you want to do something like that? Well, that's my business, isn't it? Huh? Huh? And even if people don't say that, it's their pitiful look on their face when they come. And their shaking of their head and, poor people. And the whispering on the way out, oh, God, look at all the, I don't know, look at this work and all these bags and stuff. And do you notice some of the people that come in, they're not very appreciative and stuff? I don't know if I could put up with this at all. Oh, yucky poo, huh? Hey, let me tell you something. When you're doing the will of God and you enjoy doing the will of God, you're at peace with God and you have fellowship with God. And the minute that you get out, in any degree, get out of fellowship with God, you know what? You're sick. Say amen, somebody. We're all sick. Ever happened to you? It happens to me all the time. Yeah, does it happen to you? Well, what's that song you sang today? And you said, Don and your kids were up here singing, what's that song you were singing today? He says, you sing that song and then it comes along. What was that? What? Sold out. Yeah, you got to be sold out to the right thing, right? Oh, I don't say you're always going to like it. But I'll say one thing, when you're in the will of God, you're going to be a whole lot happier. No, he is doing what he most longed to do on these wailing women, don't you know? Think the cross was being forced upon his weak shoulders. They think he is having his life taken from him. Jesus knows they're wrong. I do not have to bear this cross, he says. I am bearing it of my own choice. I am not losing my life. I am giving my life. No man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have found something big enough, he's saying, to live for and big enough to die for. For the joy, he says, that is set before me. I am enduring the cross and despising the shame. Therefore, I want you to congratulate me. I think, isn't this a very sane word, however it may contradict our popular belief and our selfish, let's say, inclinations? Well, isn't it true that all really joyous people are in the will of God doing something that we wouldn't dare to even think to have them bear, and they go ahead and bear it? Aren't they the happiest people? It really comes down to giving your life to gain your life. It really comes down to having the attitude of I want to instead of I have to. Therefore, then, to weep over or shed stupid tears, we should say, I think they're mistaken tears. Don't weep over real dedicated people. Don't do that. See, they're doing what they want to do. They're doing what they're called to do. Weep for yourselves. Now, I am aware of the fact, though, that if it ever seemed that there was a man that was defeated, it was Jesus. Right? Yeah, if it ever was a man, it seemed like he was defeated. See, he had set out for no lesser purpose than the redemption of the world. And at first, you know, he was popular and he had great multitudes following him. Later on, this following turned to hot anger against him, bitter antagonism. What a pathetic failure. Yet only a few hours ago, Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Even now, he is a conqueror. Soon his enemies will lift him on a cross, but that will not be the end. He is possessed of a quality of life that nothing can destroy, neither evil men nor death itself. Why weep tears? Weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children. And I got to looking at this and I thought, well, you know what? Jesus never really wept all that much for his friends, but for his enemies. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, "If thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round about and keep thee on every side." Who are the people that he's praying for? They were those that were rejecting him. They were not his friends. They were his enemies by choice. No? Jesus never wept in such a fashion over his friends, only his enemies. See, they were doing the will of God, and everything it says works to good for them that do the will of God. Doesn't it say that? Let me close this. I thought back when I was coming in here this morning about Stephen, and they were stoning him, and his face lit up because he dared to believe. He heard the appeal of Jesus, and he followed. Then again, we have the rich young ruler, and Jesus said, "Lay it all down, sell it all, and follow me." And he went away very sad. Oh, yeah, it cost something, but see, he was in the will of God, Stephen was. You out there that have heard this message over the tape, Do you know Jesus? Are you following Jesus? I congratulate you, especially if some suffering is involved, some other people commitment is involved. Nah, but see, I have to weep for the people that know Jesus Christ, really weep for them that know Jesus Christ, and then do nothing about it. See, because if you're weeping, usually you're weeping for the wrong, I mean, it's misdirected tears. Then again, don't waste too many tears on people and works that you've neglected till the bones are showing. The Bible says that we all will receive rewards. Some have already received them here, and some will receive them in the hereafter. You know what that means? That means that someone will go into heaven with a whole bunch of rusty old this and that and moth-eaten things that they had as rewards while they were down here. When they ask for your rewards, they say you've already had your rewards. The ones that receive after are the servants of the Lord, the happy ones. The ones that when they're laying on that bed in the end, which could come any time, could be just before you go to sleep at night and you can't sleep, so you wake up like you're dead because you haven't done right. And, you know, I see there's a lot of people in the world right now that do a lot of good. And I'm sure that is even recognized by God. You know, they do a lot of good, probably directed towards them because he knows they'll do it. God uses everybody that do more good than the Church of Jesus Christ does, than we do. And God can a lot of times use the church because they're too busy weeping for people instead of helping people. Huh? They're just weepers, they're criers, and they're moaners, and they're wailers. Oh, I feel so sorry for that Jesus work or that went out. Just like 2,000 years ago, I feel so bad about this whole thing. What am I ever going to do? I just feel so, so terrible. Why feel terrible? Why not just start doing right? Why keep yourself in such a bondage? Huh? How many kind of understood what I was talking about here today? I mean, we all every day kind of just face that situation where we have a wrong attitude. We start out with a wrong attitude. You know what's going to happen? You end up with a wrong attitude. And you think it's going to get better. It gets worse. Until you are a walking, talking attitude. And you're always crying like those folks when I first got saved and they were up there and they were spirit-filled people and they were up there and they were always crying. My, how weird I thought that was. And I found out later on that, hey, Jesus was saying, weep for yourselves. Don't be saying you're weeping for all these others. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?